And I'm wondering this morning if you've ever visited or been treated in the mental health ward of a hospital. Certainly the last thing you'd expect to find in that ward is a film crew making a documentary series for television. Changing Minds is screening over three nights this week on ABC television, tonight, tomorrow and Thursday, as part of Mental As, the ABC's Mental Health Week initiative.
I thought people with mental illness were weak, and I was of the belief that they should just snap out of it, don't be weak, and I thought they were pretending just to gain sympathy and get welfare. That's what I thought. Obviously, I don't think that now. Obviously, once you've experienced it, you don't think that.
The passionate and the impressive Patrick, who agreed to be filmed as part of the series on ABC television this week that you'll see, Changing Minds. I've seen all the episodes. Once I started watching one, I just kept on watching all three. It's very moving. At times it's distressing, I will say that. It's certainly groundbreaking. It's the first time a series has been filmed inside an Australian mental health unit. And joining me in the studio today are two people who were instrumental in making it happen. Dr. Mark Cross is with us. He's Clinical Director of Psychiatry at Sydney's Liverpool Hospital. He runs the ward where the series was filmed and features heavily in it too. His great sense of humour and kindness and compassion. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. And Alison Black is the supervising producer of Changing Minds. She's with us in the studio too. Welcome.
Good morning.
Take us to Liverpool Hospital and the mental health unit that you work in, that you manage, that you run, Mark. Describe the unit and the range of people who come to be patients in it.
So Liverpool Hospital is part of the Sydney South West local health district. I've been there for nearly 10 years and I've seen it grow quite rapidly. So Liverpool Hospital now is one of the biggest hospitals in Australia. And the mental health unit, we've got about 96 beds, plus quite a few community mental health teams. And so when you say run you through the process, we also need to know about the community side of things. So when people first come to the service, they get seen in the community. And then if they're get unwell and need more intensive treatment, they come through to the inpatient units. And where predominantly where the program was filmed is in the mental health unit. We've got about 50 beds, so three wards, east and west, 20 beds each, and the middle one, the high dependency unit, 10 beds.
And the high dependency unit, people are usually or often in that involuntarily, they've been, in a sense, sectioned under the Mental Health Act. Is that right?
Yeah, so most of the patients on that ward specifically are under the Mental Health Act. It's a sort of cutting edge, thin edge of wedge in a way when people come into hospital very unwell, involuntarily, with an element of risk involved in their care generally, and that's why they're kept in hospital and treated.
Mm. Yes, that question of risk is an interesting one, and it comes up and is explored in the program, in the series, very closely. We'll come to the consent issue in a moment because it's a vital issue. But why, as a psychiatrist, did you agree to have this documentary team inside your ward?
Well, we had to get permission through the bosses anyway, but Alison and I, Alison Black, who's sitting next to me here, is the executive producer, as you said, she and I go back a long way. And we've been talking over the years of doing something in mental health, but it was only last year that she had her own brush with mental illness. And even afterwards, it was interesting. She came to me and said, you know, Mark, I know you, and I still find it hard to know how I can talk about what I went through, who I can speak to. It's still such a taboo issue. It's still so stigmatizing for me. So if somebody like Alison has that sort of response to having had to deal with this, I thought, wow, what does this mean to other people? And it's about demystifying, I think, and destigmatizing and showing that my patients are normal. It was another interview I did earlier this morning. The normal label was brought up. And
complex.
It's a complex.
It's probably the most complex word in the entire English language, I believe.
Absolutely. And as a psychiatrist, I hate it and also use it quite a lot. It's what's normal for you. And if it's not normal anymore for you and you're suffering from something, then you need help and you need to talk about it and people need to be able to help you through it and be more open to it.
Alison, what specifically motivated you to make this series? Yes, it's personal, as it turns out.
It's very personal. I was recovering from fairly full-on cancer treatment, and I had a mental health, I would call it a breakdown. Mark probably wouldn't. And it's probably the most ghastly thing that has ever happened to me in my life. I'm told that some people that experience psychosis forget it all instantly. I remember every single bit of it. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd started a riot in Sydney. I thought my house was being burned down. I thought my dogs had been killed. I thought my family had rejected me. I cannot tell you how awful it was. And those beliefs were absolutely real to me at that time.
And it came from nowhere, effectively, didn't it?
I've never had serious issues before. The doctors think it was a result of it was head and neck cancer, and the treatment was ghastly. And I got to the end of it, had an infection, was in hospital anyway, and told my consultant that somebody was breaking into the ward to try and steal drugs. And he went away to try and find out what was going on and came back absolutely bewildered because I sounded so convincing. Mm-hmm. But when I came out of hospital, I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder because it was so severe. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't have the language to discuss it. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. Obviously, I knew Mark, so I would talk to him. But I still didn't know whether or not I was supposed to tell anybody. I was happy enough to talk about the cancer because generations have moved on. My grandmother never talked about my grandfather's cancer. But I was happy to talk about my cancer. But having a mental breakdown, that just couldn't do that. I'd never work again. My family would be ashamed. My friends wouldn't know what to say. So I just thought, this is madness in this day and age. Madness being the wrong word.
Well, it's probably the right word.
I mean, why don't we talk about it? And we had discussed filming in a mental health unit before, and I couldn't crack, as a program maker, how you would do the consents, how people would be able to give full informed consent and have capacity to consent.
So how did you work that? And I just want to acknowledge, thank you very much for sharing some of your own story, because that's a big deal for you, I know.
Oh, absolutely.
It was a big deal to tell even friends and family about it, so here you are telling a wider audience, and I think people will be very affected by this series and that understanding of partly where it comes from too. So how did you work out the consent issues here? Because when people are well, you know, they perhaps can give consent. When they're unwell, consent is very, very tricky.
Absolutely. We obviously have laws that we have to go with, but we went above and beyond that. I started working it out from my own perspective. I wouldn't have been bothered if a television crew had been filming me at my worst, because I thought there was one anyway. I was convinced I was hardwired for sound and cameras, so that wouldn't have distressed me. And once I was better, I was more than capable of making my own mind up about whether or not I appeared in a television program. So that made me investigate with Mark, do people get better and can you kind of predict who's likely to get better? And it turns out that, yes, people do get better, and at a stage in their cycle, they will be, if two consultant psychiatrists tell us they have capacity to consent, they can make that decision for themselves. So it would be very patriarchal for us to take that right away. Psychiatrists talk about dignity of risk, and people can make their own mind up as long as they have the capacity to consent.
Mm. How did you approach the consent issue? Because here you are with cameras filming people at their most vulnerable. So as a doctor, and all of you as a team, how did you feel about having cameras in watching all this?
Well, it was hard, especially at the beginning, because it was so new and there was a little bit of, you know, concern about things. But we worked it out quite well, I think. So right at the beginning, so when we were filming people when they were very unwell, we'd take initial consent. So they sort of understood, you know, even when our patients are very unwell, they still can sort of understand certain things and you know, that's going on around them.
Absolutely. The clarity, even when people are in, you know, florid psychosis, there's a clarity, and people will see that. There's a clarity certainly about psychiatric power, and we'll come to that.
Okay. But then when they were well, and of course what's so amazing in the series, they all become well, and there's this journey that we're showing. Mm. And then we did the full capacity assessment and full consent with their carers as well.
It was interesting watching. Let's hear a little more of Patrick and Glenn, shall we?
I'm glad I seen the doctor today, because yeah. I got a half an hour unescorted leave.
Yeah, you've come a long way. I remember I met you in the high security area, and I thought,
I thought basically you'd fragged your brain.
Yeah.
I literally thought you were so far gone that you were like a permanent resident. Sometimes you feel like everybody's against you and...
You do.
But it's more of a...
It's not that way. It's just they're trying to help you.
And it's more a personal... You're battling yourself, basically. You're battling your own negativity, your own low self-esteem, like you say.
Yeah.
I'm just treating this like a hiccup along the way and think, okay, well, that's done. Let's move on.
You don't want to do it again, eh?
I don't want to do it again, no. No, I'm not going in here again.
These are fantastic guys.
They are
Patrick
wonderful.
And Glenn. And Glenn, someone that you've known for a long time in the system.
I've known Glenn since he was about 14. You know, but that clip's just amazing. And I still, I've seen the rough cuts. I haven't seen the finished product. But every time I've seen it, it still brings a lump to my throat because it's so amazing. And they share so much. And yet they're also so eloquent. They're the ones who tell it like it is and describe so perfectly, especially when Patrick talks about illness, his experience, far better than myself as a professional.
Yeah. Mark Cross, over and over again, this question of insight comes up in conversations with people staying in the unit. Well, why is that vital in terms of the decisions that you make on their behalf as the psychiatrist running the unit?
So insight's so important to our work, and we actually have psychology input, and in terms of our recovery rehabilitation process, keeping people well and then treating them in the community, it's about development of insight, which leads to understanding and their own understanding, taking control and responsibility for their own illness, in essence, and then working things through and then acknowledging as well that they might need medication and longer-term psychological input.
Mm. You yourself acknowledge that doctors need to reflect on their own power, and we see that tension played out, don't we, because people are in the ward involuntarily, and on camera they are saying over and over again, I want to go home, I want to go home, I want to go home. And I wonder if this series is an opportunity, further opportunity for you as a psychiatrist to reflect on that incredible power that you have over people's lives, therapeutic power, but it's complex, isn't it? And there's a complex history here.
It's very complex, but any good doctor, and remember, you know, I took a Hippocratic Oath, and the main thrust of that was do no harm. And as a doctor and a 21st century psychiatrist, which I hope I am and my colleagues are as well, you look at the authority that we have. I tend not to try and look at it as power because there's a power relationship, and as you say, but least restrictive care constantly is undermining our holding people against their will under the Mental Health Act. You try and engage. That's the important thing. You engage your patient. You form a therapeutic alliance with them, and they get to the stage where you can go, okay, let's make you voluntary. You are now working with us. You're with the team to get better.
Mm.
And that's a great moment, and I always strive for that.
And it's a joyous moment. I can see it in your face in the series.
It's a great moment. I don't lie. Do you think I hate having to go to people, no, I can't let you out of hospital. You know, the human rights issues, they're amazing, complex ethical considerations that I have to think of every day in my practice.
Mm.
And you have to. Being a good clinician, constantly have to think of those issues.
Dr. Mark Cross is with us. He's Clinical Director of Psychiatry at Liverpool Hospital. He features in a documentary series you'll see screening on ABC television throughout the week, tonight, Tuesday, Thursday. It's called Changing Minds. It's going to air as part of Mental As, the mental health initiative happening across the ABC. Alison Black is with us too. She's the supervising producer of Changing Minds. I mean, incredibly, you film an electroconvulsive therapy session. You film inside a mental health review tribunal, considering whether someone needs to stay on in the hospital. These are all firsts in some sense. But you also film with families and loved ones and partners and sons. And that toll on families is such a crucial one to capture, isn't it? And it's a tension too, because sometimes the family members have been the ones that have resulted in their loved one being hospitalised.
Absolutely. In the third episode on Thursday, you meet Rebecca and her mum, Lynn. And Lynn is just the nicest woman in the world, and she's heartbroken because when Rebecca's not well, she loses her daughter, and she talks about missing out in those mother-daughter moments. Mm. And she's obviously just exhausted by the whole process. But I don't want to give out the ending.
No,
away,
don't.
But, you know, there's a it ends well. And it's very uplifting. It's very positive. And it's not saying that Rebecca will never get unwell again, but there is light. It's not all dark.
How did people respond to being filmed? And you know, I'm thinking of someone like Patrick, for example, who has had a long career in the IT sector, in the banking industry. He's a fitness junkie. He's got a long life to live and a working life to live as well. It must have been a big consideration for him to agree to appear in the series.
Absolutely. He has just been an amazing advocate for the patients. He is so articulate. And I think there was a feeling, and I don't really want to speak for the patients, but I think there was a feeling amongst them that they wanted to share their story and that maybe it was about time that they had a voice. Because at the moment, mental health patients really don't have much opportunity to have a voice. And I mean, obviously not everybody wanted to be filmed, and of those we filmed, not everybody wanted to be part of the broadcast. Mm. Which is absolutely fair and right. But Patrick was enthusiastic about being on television because he thinks it's about time that people with mental illness are heard.
Yes, and that's the tension with not having one of the participants in the studio with us today, isn't it? Let's hear again from Patrick on stigma.
I don't think it would serve any useful purpose for me to go up to an employer and say, hey, guess what? I've had a bipolar episode. How about a job? Sure, they're not going to say, oh, we're not employing you because you're bipolar. They'll find a different reason. Superficially, there's a lot of, yes, I understand, and you get a lot of support on that level. But, you know, you dig under the surface. What do people really think? There's a reason why I don't have people knocking on my door to say, hey, Patrick, let's go do something. What's the reason? It's the fact that I've been in a mental hospital. And, you know, you have to be cautious with people like me.
What do you hope to dispel with this series?
Can I quickly just say, touching on what you were saying earlier about the patients' voices, when I was doing consent with Rebecca and her mom at the end of the show, she was sitting there and, you know, it was a long process and she really wanted to leave. And eventually she said, after a moment's silence, she looked at me and she said, Mark, I want people to know what I go through and what people like me have to go through. It was a very profound moment. Unfortunately, it wasn't filmed, but it was just, I wanted to share that.
Absolutely. I mean, it clarifies everything, doesn't it? Yes.
So what we want from the program is for people just to see that these are normal people going through abnormal times and illness, and that they are just absolutely great people who struggle with things and then get better, and we have a great relationship, and to destigmatize and demystify the whole process.
And I think you achieved that,
Alison. It would be wonderful if we achieved even a tiny fraction of it. And it's been a difficult year for all of us to make this series. None of us had to do it. We've stuck our heads above the parapet, and we just hope it's that an audience finds it and appreciates it, and maybe we move the conversation a bit further forward.
I hope it does that too. Look, thank you so much for taking the time and coming into the studio. Congratulations on the series. Have I got confused about the dates? Did it go to air last night?
No, it's Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. So
yeah.
Tonight,
yeah,
Wednesday,
I'm getting
and
confused because it was a long
holiday
weekend in the city that I'm in. So it goes to air tonight.
Night at 8:30.
And Tuesday and
Wednesday
and Thursday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And of course, you'll be able to catch it on iView as well. That's Changing Minds. And we've just had Dr. Mark Cross from the Liverpool Hospital with us, and Alison Black, supervising producer of Changing Minds. Tune in. That's tonight, tomorrow night, and Thursday night, and it's on iView as well. It's absolutely vital to see.